Welcome to my study. After 30 years, I've concluded that everything you need to know to be successful in every part of your life is found in one book, the Bible. Well, we spend a lot of time together already, and I'm very happy that you're back here with me again today. Previously, we learned the consequences when a person lacks moral intelligence in the area of sexuality. And so we covered all the issues, all the problems that affect our culture and what we have to deal with. But this time is part two, and now it's time to discover how moral intelligence, if we have it, should properly affect sexuality. So I'm going to give you 10 steps on how moral intelligence will affect real sexuality. Marriage, the legitimate context of sexuality. Marriage is morally intelligent. Well, look at the scripture. To avoid wrong sex, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Marriage is God's idea of resolving the sexual issues. Let's look at another scripture. And I'll give it to you in a translation. Is it good to have sexual relationships? That's the question being asked in scripture, right? Answer. Certainly. But only within a certain context. Watch now. It's good for a man to have a wife and for a woman to have a husband. Watch now. Sexual drives are strong, but marriage is strong enough to contain them and provide a balanced and fulfilling, fulfilling sex life. In a world of, look at this, what's really going on now, a world of sexual disorder. My goodness. So God, he understands the sexuality. He says, hey, I want you to have a good time. But here's the way to do it. It has to be morally intelligent. And so the scripture is plain. To avoid immorality, let every man have his own wife, and let every wife have her own husband. In fact, one scripture says if you're sexually motivated and can't contain yourself, then get married, because it is better to marry than it is to burn. So marriage is God's idea. It's the first step, but let me give you some more. Marital sexuality, let's talk about it. It is the oneness of a man and a woman. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall, look at this now, and shall cleave to his wife, and they too shall become one flesh. So it's a unity issue of great significance. That same scripture goes on. Let's go back to it. Because now they are no longer two, but they are one flesh. Now, don't miss this. It's said in just about every Christian ceremony, wedding ceremony, and well, it should be. What God has joined together, let not man put asunder. So what is a marriage? It's a covenant made before God. And so the minister conducting says, dearly beloved, we're here gathered together in the sight of God, and you who are witness to join this man, this woman together in the bonds of holy matrimony, you know how the ritual goes. But it's something we do before God. We make a covenant, the man with the woman. Now, it moves on from there, from the oneness of man and woman, it moves on to the fact that marital sexuality, okay, is to be mutually beneficial to the man and to the woman, to both of them. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence. I see this is one of those King James words that might miss it. Likewise also the wife unto the husband. Let's see if I put that in. Yep. Look at this. The marriage bed is a place of mutuality. The husband seeking to satisfy his wife and the wife seeking to satisfy her husband. And this is referring to sexually. It's a place where there's mutual accommodation and the context for proper sexuality and no need for perversion. No, watch this, because this is really important. Marriage is designed by God. And you can't put into marriage something that God says should not be there, and you can't take out of marriage something that God says should be there. And there are so many marriage failures because probably the lack of pre-marriage counseling, I don't know. Somebody's not getting them to that which is morally intelligent. You want to go into marriage morally intelligent, see? Huh? And maybe because what they try, I've heard people say that marriage is a failure. Oh yeah, tell me about the marriage. And when they describe the marriage, it has nothing to do with the marriage that God designed. We're not free to concoct our own version of marriage. And no wonder this marriage failure, because it's not marriage that's failing, as God designed it. What's failing is a human idea of marriage that has faults in it because it wasn't accomplished with moral intelligence that God has built in to marriage. So let's go deeper into this idea of sexuality and marriage. Marital sexuality is each possessing the other's body. What? This is shockingly wonderful to me, and I'll tell you why in a moment. Because in marriage, the wife does not have power over her own body. But that power is now the husband's. Ah, now watch this. Likewise, also the husband hath not power over his own body, but the wife. Now, I tell you what's so interesting about this. Because you know, if you know the scriptures, that our bodies belong to who? The Lord, right? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, okay? And here's God at the marriage altar giving to the husband that which until then has belonged to God himself, the wife of the body, and giving to the wife that which has belonged to God, the wife, the body of the husband. Such an unselfish act by God. Now, I don't know your background. I don't know how much you know about this. But this whole idea that I've just mentioned about your body being the temple of God, belonging to God. You can go back to Psalm 139, first 18 verses, and get this really clearly presented to you. But marital sexuality has to do with the man has the right to her and she has the right to him. So let's go to a translation, make it simple. Marriage is not a place to stand up for your rights. Marriage is a decision to serve one another, whether in bed or out of it. Now, marriage sexuality is to be private and exclusive. In the book of Proverbs, remember I mentioned at the beginning here how the King James Version is so dignified and tasteful, huh? Lacks being crass and no gutter talk, yeah? Although it deals with the gutters, right? But this is in the book of Proverbs now. Drink waters out of thine own cisterns and running waters out of thine own Well, and I'm about to tell you a very big secret. Because you can read the book of Proverbs, I get it. But in the book of Proverbs, the woman is likened to a cistern and likened to a well, and the man goes there to drink. And the man's genitals are represented as a fountain. This fountain is supposed to get blessed. It's referring to his male parts. Huh? Boy, I'll bet you're heading for the book of Proverbs now, aren't you? You should be, because it's absolutely full of important stuff. So drink waters out of your own cistern. That's your own wife. Let them be only thine own, nobody else, nobody else, no other strangers with thee, nobody, no three ways, nothing, no four ways. Drink out of your own well, your own wife's life and body. And let them be thine own and not strangers with thee. Now look at this. Let thy fountain be blessed. This is referring to the male, the penis, right? Let your fountain be blessed. Oh my. And rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Because marital sexuality is meant to be personal, intimate, private, exclusive. You ready for this next one? And entirely joyful. We just read this. Watch it again. Let thy fountains be blessed, that your male part be blessed, and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Now, I don't understand this part of the scripture too well. Let her, your wife, be as a loving hind in a pleasant row. I guess this was made for guys who were out hunting deer. And they have this obsession for capturing a deer or whatever. And so let your wife be as one of those deers that you're really after. Uh-oh. Let her breasts satisfy thee at all times. Ooh. Context. Marriage. Exclusive. Personal. Her body is his and his body is hers. Go to the well and drink as often as you wish. Because he is a fountain, and so she won't run dry because he's going to fill her with something that keeps the well well supplied. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished. Now look at this. Always with her love. Like, really, get carried away. I mean, this is really big stuff. So, you want to see what the message says? I know that you do. Don't ever quit taking delight in her body. Never take her love for granted. Don't quit taking delight in her body. That is the marriage rite. Now, there are issues about sexuality in marriage, and they have to do with motivation. So I want to propose to you three diverse motives for marital sex. Three motives. And you can use one, two, or all three, and each time it might be a different reason, different motive behind the sexuality. So the first one is that we are going to be sexual with the wife because we are commanded to and told to, and therefore we want to be obedient. Obedience, because we're instructed to. Let the husband render to the wife due benevolence. This is sexuality, right? And likewise, the wife to the husband. Sometimes the motive is, I'm just doing what I'm told. And that may not be satisfying so enough. Also, let's go to the next one. As a ministry to the other person, let the husband render to benevolence, and likewise the wife. In that marital sexuality, there is a transmission of energy, completion, devotion, love, if you please. Something almost mysterious gets transmitted. This is why what you do in marriage is so important. It's not optional. Sexuality in marriage is not an option. Remember, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and every wife have her own husband, right? To avoid fornication. You know, if a man eats at home, he's not hungry when he goes out. Did you catch it? And vice versa, the woman. In other words, this is so to be so personally satisfying together, complementing one another, ministering to one another. I don't know if my wife's watching this, but, well, I better not say that. I was going to say I'm going to go home for her. See if I can minister to her. But it is a ministry. Render something, putting into that woman's life, and vice versa, that cannot be done any other way. So there's a third reason, though, and that is for the mutual joy. Live joyfully with the wife of thy youth, thy lovest, all the days of thy vanity. So I really want you to catch these three. I actually learned this in a seminar where it was talking about three kinds of smiles. It's a parallel here. See? First kind of smile is you smile because you're told to. God says rejoice. Always rejoice. Put a smile on your face. Second kind of smile, they call it the ministry smile, because somebody's going to watch you and so you're going to minister to them by a pleasant look on your face. And then the third kind is a joyful smile, because you just can't help it, because and marriage consists of all three of those. What's really important is you do not forget the exclusivity of marriage sexuality. I have to repeat this. So comes now the scriptures and says, why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman, and why would you touch the breast of a stranger? Why would you do that? Don't you know that God's watching you? He is watching for moral intelligence. For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he God, ponders all his goings. It's a good thing, by the way, to get this straight. Here's the scripture. Jerks us back out of people and out of me too. Thou God seest me. God, you see me. When I was a boy, I was in a store where they sold little turtles, just little guys like this, you know, just little wee guys. And I thought I'd steal one. And I picked up this colorful orange on the belly. I was about to put it in my jacket, and I looked there, and somebody who worked for the company was watching me. I put the turtle back. This is one of the great things about all the video cameras right now. You can't get away with much because you get caught on video. But watch this, because this is what we define as the fear of the Lord. God sees me, and he can see in the dark as well as in the day. And he's keeping track. So God's watching. Actions, motives, words, how we treat one another. So knowing that he's watching, remember, the ways of a man are before the eyes of the Lord. And then it goes on to say his own iniquities. And I wish we had time to do that. Shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be held with the cords of his sins. There is no bondage like a sexual bondage. Ah. He shall die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly, he shall go astray. Now watch this, and don't miss on this, because we're talking here about how moral intelligence affects sexual intelligence. Remember the exclusivity of marital sexuality, or a whore is a deep ditch, and a strange woman is a narrow pit. She also lies in wait as for a prey, and increases the transgression among men. For the commandment of the Lord is the lamp, and the law is light, and the reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Why? To keep thee from the evil woman. You could just as well transliterate this and make it keep thee from the evil man. For the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman, to keep you from it. So lust not after her beauty in thine heart, and don't let her take you with your eyelids. Don't let the makeup get to you. For by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread. Let me interpolate. By means of a whorish man, a woman is brought to a piece of bread as well. Watch now. And the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. It's about the benefits. It isn't about your body that she's after. It's your pocketbook. It's your assets. It's what you can do for her. It's the exchange. Watch now. Can a man put fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? You know? Can one go upon a coal and his feet not be burned? So he that goeth, watch this now, so he that goeth into his neighbor's wife, whosoever touches her shall not be innocent. Whoso committeth adultery with a woman, now watch it now, and remember the interpolation, with a man. He that commits adultery with a woman, look at this, lacks understanding. What is that? Moral intelligence. Okay? And look at this, it gets worse. He that does it destroys his own soul. Again, the interpolation. Whoso committeth adultery with a man lacks understanding. She that does it destroys her own soul. A wound and dishonor shall he get or she get. A wound and dishonor shall he get. And the reproach shall not be wiped away. My. Unfaithfulness in marriage destroys the heart. Whoredom and wine, new wine, take away the heart. Wine, women, and song have robbed my people of their brains. Give not thy strength unto women. Use your strength for women, but don't give away your strength. Now, lastly, marital stability that comes from moral intelligence, look at what it does. That is what secures a family. So look at the scripture question. If the foundations are destroyed, what can a person who wants to do right do? If the moral foundation has dropped out of a nation, what can good people do? This is a really good question. If the foundations be destroyed, and what are the foundations? if not family. If you take this away, my friends, if this is gone, what's going to happen when family doesn't exist anymore? The truth is that a man, and I love this picture, I probably should have gone full screen with it. This is what a real man does. And this picture is his child. It could be his wife. This is the mission of building family, protecting wife, spouse, children, watching out for them. The defender, not the deserter. So what can the righteous do? So comes the scripture and says, the Lord will guide you to do what's right. Here it is. They that be of thee, your children, if you do this right, if you stay morally intelligent, which makes for sexual intelligence within the bonds of holy matrimony, holy matrimony, it's going to affect your children. Then here's what your children will do. They will build the old waste places that other generations have destroyed. And you will raise up the foundation of many generations. You will be the cause, perpetrator, of many generations to come. And those that had the privilege of you being a morally intelligent person in marriage, those children shall be called, watch this now, the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. And so, my friends, I've just about come to the conclusion, but I want you to understand how important this is. So I want to go back to the screen one more time and let you see. Marital stability produces moral intelligence. Watch now. And moral intelligence produces sexual intelligence. And sexual intelligence produces marital intelligence. And marital intelligence produces family intelligence. And family intelligence produces cultural intelligence. The single greatest need for our culture today is family. And it will never happen. It will never happen. It will never happen unless we return to moral intelligence. Moral intelligence that affects sexual intelligence and marital intelligence, family intelligence, and then the culture. I hope this has been helpful to you so that you can become, if not, there's great redemption, forgiveness, cleansing, get rid of the past through Jesus Christ. Because if anybody in Christ, he's a new creation, old things pass away. And all the shame, and all the error, and all the wrong. That's why they call him Savior. Come to him. Get a fresh start. Make Jesus the Lord of your life. And all will be well.